Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Mike and Diana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Diana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 10 of Survivor 41. My name is Mike Bloom. Happy belated Thanksgiving out there to everyone who's celebrating. And man, we had a feast this week. Even better than pizza under the stars, the supposed best reward of the season. We had perhaps the best episode of the season. I have a motley crew to join me who hopefully is not as cutthroat as this group of players. Of course, welcoming in the co-host, the co-owner of the B&B, Liana Boris. I would say, you know, the Shantamira card, I think that is a metaphor we can do away with now when it comes to solidarity, but excited to talk about it nonetheless.
Yeah, please, please, please don't vote me out. Please don't turn on me when it comes to the podcast. Like, not yet, or whatever it was that Shan was saying. No, I thought this was an absolutely fabulous episode, and I think that there is definitely a lot to talk about.
Well, we are here to talk about an episode that we could say you killed it. And we can't say that phrase without bringing in this guy. He is the other half of the challenge we're half up here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we had his co-host, Ali Lasher, on a few weeks ago. But we decided to wrap up the dynamic duo. Coming on for the first time to talk about Survivor, I believe. We are honored to be welcoming the great Brian Cohen to the B&B. Brian, how's it going?
Hello, Mike Bloom, Leon Boris. How are you? Gotta do my. Yes. If I start a podcast with anything else, I don't know how to do it. So I just have to do it like that. I'm just very excited to be here. Very excited.
Is that so? That's your like worth playing for your yep. sort of like phrase exactly. that you bring into every podcast.
That's how I wore myself up. I crack my knuckles. Hello, everyone. And that's how I joined a podcast. Exactly.
It's until I get a how are you, then yep. I know, like, that's when I know I'm here.
I know, but I feel so honored. This is probably, like you said, like probably the best episode of the season, probably one of the best episodes of Survivor in a while. So I feel like a lot of pressure that I was the guest for this week. I feel like probably people are hoping for a more heavy hitter, but they're stuck with me. So hopefully this I do it justice.
No, to be fair, we're going to do our usual thing. No matter what the quality of the episode, we're going to do a lot of stupid shit on this show. So like our quality is guaranteed to be at a very steady level.
That's
no matter
my bar.
What,
that's good.
Yeah, no matter whether things go above or below the bar, we are going to maintain consistency. But before we even get into Survivor 41, because we had you on for Big Brother, but I don't think people know your background with Survivor proper. So give us a little bit of that Survivor resume. Were you a day one watcher? Was there a specific season that brought you on board? What has you watching to the day and time where you would come on and talk about, you know, episode 10 of Survivor 41?
Yeah, my Survivor resume is much deeper than my Big Brother resume. I fully state that I'm a Big Brother casual. I love being a Big Brother casual. I think it's a much more appropriate way to enjoy the show. For Survivor, I've gone back. I started watching the end of season one, like when it was on live. I remember watching. I used to just watch like the tribal councils of season one. That's how I initially would watch it. I would just tune in for the last 10 minutes. He was voted out. And then when they reran the season before Australia, I rewatched the whole season. And then from there, I watched every episode.
Wait, I'm really intrigued by this. So you would watch like the last
Yeah, I would just watch
7 minutes of every episode.
I don't know. I was a weird 10-year-old kid. I don't know. I didn't care about anything that happened before it. I just wanted to see the set of Tribal Council, see someone's torch get snuffed, and that's all I cared about as a 10-year-old, and seeing someone get voted out.
Okay, the challenges that I get. No, I mean, especially given your podcast. No. The Tribal Councils, that's wild.
I was like, no, it's 8:50. It's time to watch Survivor. I'm putting it on.
Yeah, that's when you thought it started. It was like, the Tribal Council show.
Yep. Oh yeah, the only 10-minute show that's on TV now. I don't know. Yeah. The Tribal Council show.
I was an odd duck kid. I don't know what can you say. But then since then, I normally now always watch 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I get the full episode of Enjoy.
Okay. Watching. Yeah. Well, I don't know, Brian, 50 minutes before.
You are music to Jeff Probst's ears right now, right? Because so much of Modern Survivor, right? It's like the theater of Tribal Council and all these live tribals. Like, he's looking to, like, the junior Survivor players. They only watch the last 10 minutes of the show. We gotta put everything in there. We have to make sure that nobody knows who's going home until the votes are written down. We're making it for the Brian Cohens out there.
Yeah, if there was a game within the game of Tribal Council in 2000, I would have been all over it. I would have been the number one demographic to nail that one. I would have been all over that game within the game.
That's how they get you, because then you have to watch the whole episode because you don't know when it's going to be. It's not just a Tribal Council. So
I would have been in rough shape without it.
Mm-hmm. This is I'm just so intrigued by this concept. Just the idea of, like, all right, well, I guess I got to find out what happened to get to this spot. I mean, it is almost like watching almost watching the previously on Survivor and then having to back yourself up 40 minutes and actually get the context behind it.
Yeah, just watching a season of Survivor, just the previously and just the coming up, I feel like that would be a fun way to go about an enjoyment of a season. It's kind of what I did. I don't know. What can I say? But I'm now a fully normal person enjoying the full episodes of Survivor. So here we are. Like,
I can now claim that I normally watch the full episode of like a normal person.
Yeah, because I mean, if you only watch the last 5 minutes of this episode, even though Jeff Probst really applauded the answering skills of everyone left in the game, you missed a good chunk of some incredible Survivor content. So to parlay that into season 41 proper, Brian, what have been your thoughts about season 41 so far, especially in light of what I think is going to be an incredibly seismic shift in the season?
Yeah, it's been super enjoyable. I think that's like the best way I could do it. You know, I know there's been a lot of hate about the twist and the advantages and the votes and stuff like that. And yeah, maybe some of that could be taken away. But just the people on the show, I also love just Jeff's enthusiasm for the show. It just seems like a fun season. Like, I don't feel like stressed, or there's no negativity like when you're watching the show. So I just find myself really enjoying the season top to bottom. Every episode's been, in some level, entertaining and good, and the cast is great. I think we're set up for almost at this point, whoever wins, a pleasant winner, a good winner, and maybe even a top tier winner, depending upon if someone, a couple of people are able to pull it out. So I think it's just been a very good season all the way around, and it's just so nice to have it back in our lives after the long break. So I'm just enjoying Survivor every step of the way.
I feel that so often we talk about, if only they made the move, if only they, you know, flipped the script on the person who was running the game, and we finally get it here. And as devastating as it is, especially given like my affection and love for Shan, it makes for great TV and it does completely shift the game. And it's so wild that I don't know. I kind of don't know what to make of it because it actually happened. It's like when you finally get what you wish for, and I'm like, I can't process this. I'm happy. I'm sad, but I'm all of the emotions. It was just really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, emotion is the best word to describe this episode because it was packed full of it. And honestly, there's so many things to love about this episode. I would call it like a tour de force of Survivor in general. But I think what I loved most about it is, you know, 20 plus years in, you think, okay, the people we cast, they're like calcified to the game. They're going to cut throats. They don't care. But this episode proves time in and time out what makes Survivor captivating, in my opinion, is this inherent internal conflict, right? Of you rely on people to literally survive on an island. You make these seemingly unbreakable bonds, and then you have to break them. And I think we began to see that really come to the forefront in this episode of essentially presenting this moral quandary to basically every single castaway there, right? Of like, You have one option that is breaking a friendship, potentially doing something to someone, you love, something that hurts them, or, you know, deciding to stay the course and possibly mar your own game in the process, and to see how Deshaun, Shan, Liana, Ricard all dealt with that in different ways, I found incredibly fascinating. I think it's also a really interesting state of Survivor to see not only that conflict, but see how open everybody is. You know, I was a little shocked when we hear both Shan and Ricard say, well, we don't really have a finals deal or anything, when they were the only two to survive that culling of Uwa. So the fact that these two were like, yeah, but let's slow our roll a little bit here on the final three deal, maybe speaks about the fact that while these players are messy, I think that messiness inherently comes with like wearing your heart on your sleeve and perhaps doing things or not doing things based on just the emotions that come with the game that you can't help but express this season.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this season so fun and this particular episode so great, is kind of similar to how I also kind of view Lost, going back for Mike, is how a lot of people watch Lost or watch Survivor for like the mystery for Lost or the strategic decisions for Survivor.
Or
the Tribal Council.
Imagine if you watched like just the endings of Lost every single episode.
But what makes each of those shows so great is when you also bake in the emotional element and the character development aspect, and then those merge. So here, there were so many things that this season has layered into these characters that all crescendoed in this episode. Between the Liana and Shan, they had that hike that built into this episode. You had Deshaun struggle with, you know, does he do what's best for him, or does he do what's best for Wes, as he says, the culture of the Black Alliance. You have the Deshaun and Shan alliance that have been structured all season and building, waiting for them to turn on each other. When are they going to do it? It comes through here. So there was just so many. And of course, Shan's like humming and song that they built in through the season. So many things that they layered into each episode all came to a head that were some strategy, but some character, and it was like the perfect blend of each of them that really made this episode just so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so happy that you brought up the song when they're that moment when she's humming it, right? And it's like, yeah. Heather and Xander, that I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so perfect. It just felt so beautiful. And obviously, of course, they edit the freaking season, so of course they're gonna do this, but it just really felt like such a beautiful episode because they were able to do all of those things, and especially towards Shan in particular. And I think when we talk about like, oh, well, why people don't make that move, you know, it's like, oh, it's frustrating. It's like, this is why, guys, this is why. Like, do you see all of this emotion? And this is why people don't want to take that shot, because they're building these bonds and because they feel close, and there's all of that wrapped up into it. It's not just strategic.
Yeah. Well, especially given, again, you know, it's been such a hot button talk in CBS reality TV, right? This idea of the Black Alliance, as they said, doing it for the culture versus doing it for themselves. I thought Deshaun vocalized it, I think, incredibly beautifully, that honestly, I wish we'd gotten at least one soundbite about this over the course of Big Brother 23, right? This idea of like, this is awesome and I want to do this, but also like, I'm up to my nose in debt. Like, I might only have one chance to do this. Like, how do I weigh those options? And then you expect things to go one way. And then I'll be honest, when Ricard has that confessional where he's like, and I decided today is the day I'm going to get rid of Shan.
Yeah.
Like, my butt dropped out from under me. My hip bones were sitting in my chair at that point. It was because I think of all people, I don't think you would have expected Ricard. Like, I know, in the pre-merge, there was that little bit of stuff, right, with the extra vote. And I thought it'd be more so that Shan would turn on Ricard, saying like, oh, no, he's acting a little sketchy. But she tells him, right, like, oh, you're in trouble. I'm going to try to get you out of this. And then he returns the favor by ending up cutting her throat. I thought, you know, it's one of those et tu brute moments that can be so, to Liana's point, like so fantastic and so seldom watched on Survivor, that it made all this feel incredibly special, if heartbreaking.
Yeah, and just quickly, just going back to the Deshaun thing, I think it's just been so cool seeing like almost like the same conversation play out in Survivor and Big Brother about like Deshaun and Tiffany kind of having the similar struggle of like, oh, do I do it for the culture or do I do what's best for me? I kind of love that we get to see both ways play out, where here Deshaun decides like, like, yes, it's a great cause, but also I need $1 million. Like, it's a lot of money. It's going to change my life. And then Tiffany's sake, she does it more for the culture and the cause. And I think it's so cool to see both situations play out and you see different decisions by different people. And that kind of just shows, like, really what this, like, the movement of diversity has been about is that it gives people the ability to choose what path they want to go to. It allows people to decide based off the group of people that they're working with, okay, I don't have to do this route because I only have one option. I only have, like, one other Black person that I can work with, so I have to, like, try to make it work with them. Or I have other options where I have a group of people that it gives me an option to stay with them or do what's best for me or go what's best for the game. And so it allows so much fluidity of decision-making, which is so cool to see both play out back-to-back seasons of Big Brother and Survivor, to see this decision play out so differently in both seasons. It's so cool to watch.
And to on that note as well, even though Survivor is airing after Big Brother, mm-hmm. Big Brother had no idea of what had happened on the Survivor season, right. And the Survivor right. season had no idea that the Big Brother season had happened. So it is very much two completely independent. There's no real crossover between the two. I mean, apart mm-hmm. from the fact that obviously the games and the people are different, but at least they're not necessarily influencing one another, which I think is also very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think the structures of the shows, I think, helped lend credence to the outcomes of those respective shows. Mm-hmm. Like Survivor, you know, it was nice to see these four Black contestants come together, Shan and Deshaun did not start on the same tribe. And so mm-hmm. I think it makes sense that they've only been together, what, probably like 5 days at this point as a merged tribe mm-hmm. that, like, of course, they're not seeing eye to eye. Like, yes, it'd be nice to work together for this cause, but, like, they haven't essentially gotten to know each other yet, mm-hmm. as opposed to with Big Brother, inherently, or at least you try to work or at least have some sort of maintaining relationship with everybody from day dot, that I think it would make more sense for, much like we saw with the cookout, for them to sort of eye each other, start looking out for each other from the very beginning. Survivor, you can't really do that unless you want to, like, exchange furtive glances or weird catchphrases or cobble something together on Ship Whale Island. Here it was much more latent in the game, and now you start to see one of the reasons why this all falls apart is because Shan had a lot of value in her relationship with Ricard, mm-hmm. and so Deshaun and Danny took it to mean, oh, she values Ricard over this coalition that we have. It's time to get rid of her. So again, it's these really fascinating dynamics. And then you have Liana on top of that, right? Like you said, Brian, honestly, that one scene we saw on Ship Whale Island between the two of them might have been, like, apparently it's the biggest event of the season in hindsight. Who would have mm-hmm. thought?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the emotion really playing out for Liana at that scene, like going back to that hike with her and Shan. And sometimes, like you said, you don't really know, okay, is that just in the moment? And then we get back to your tribe, is it really going to mean anything? And clearly that stuck with Liana. That was, like, the moment that transformed her game and transformed this decision making and everything. So it's wonderful. It was breathtaking and just cool to see it all kind of play out. And it's just, not to steal David Lundberg and Jessica Lewis's thunder a little bit, but what went wrong for Shan here? She really just seemed like she was in the middle of so many alliances, has an idol, had, like, advantages floating around her, and here she is cut at 8, like, not even close to the final. She's not even, like, the fallen soldier at 3 or 4 or whatever. So to fall this short, like, what went wrong?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll leave that to them to really get into. It's really interesting to think about, like, how the different, what happened with all these different relationships that can turn so quickly. But we've seen this throughout the season. Like, maybe this goes into Liana's close relationship with Shan, but how quickly Liana turned on Yasa and just left that group in the dust. Mm-hmm. Then also so quickly we see Ricard decide, yep, today's the day, and immediately goes with that information. I mean, also, you know, there was the consequences of Deshaun and Danny talking to Liana. Liana ends up, you know, going to Shan. Like, there's just so much intercommunication because everybody has all of these different bonds that they were able to build over the course, which I think really directs it. So to go back to your question about, okay, well, what do we think was the fundamental issue? They got the rules, all right? But you can't pinpoint just one. And I think it's just because of how all of these different relationships were forming and the different decisions that everyone was making. Like, it's multifactorial. I don't think there was, like, one inherent thing she did wrong.
I think it was one of those things where all of the stars aligned in very unfortunate ways, right? Yeah. Some Shan synergy going on where it was this thing of, you know, Danny and Deshaun were unhappy with Shan wanting to keep Ricard, You have, you know, Erica's unhappy that obviously Shan wants to target her. Heather goes along with her. And Ricard is also deciding in this moment, okay, it's time to turn on her. Like, I do think Ricard is probably like the linchpin in that plan, right? I don't know if that ends up going through without Ricard doing it.
Well, Andy wins immunity. So then there's that on top of it as well. And he won the reward, which put those four together. So there's just like, it's Ricard. Oh, maybe it's Ricard. That's why.
No, it's a house of Ricards. It really is. Where like you build them up and there's a chance it might all come tumbling down. But yeah, it's such an interesting turn. I would also imagine that it is a little bit of, to use a bit of a metaphor, like almost sort of a buildup of water behind a dam, right? Where Shan was clearly coming across, she was building a big story for herself. And this was talked about with Nasir last week as well. These are some very big game heady players. And I think they are going to go big game hunting if they see something. So when they see Shan's story on Ua, when they see the fact that according to their perception, even though, again, she has acquiesced to their order several times the past couple of weeks, it's her way or the highway. You know, as Deshaun said, she walks into camp this past episode being like, yeah, so I did this fun thing with the extra vote to basically split it between Nasir and Heather. So it would guarantee one of us didn't go home. I think it was also just that she was looming particularly large. And while I do agree, Brian, that she was voted out at 8, they are only, I think, a week until the finale. Like, she was voted out day 19 out of 26. And I really do think at some point in Survivor, it becomes honestly less about the number of people left in the game and more about the day number. If you're thinking, I only have a week left, that seems on paper very little time to take a shot at somebody. So even though there are several rounds left a play, if you approach someone like Ricard and you say you only have 7 days to do this, he's like, okay, let me do it now then. I have immunity. Let me pull, you know, Rob Cesternino often says the people who pull these moves are the ones who feel the safest. And Ricard was the safest at this final eight.
And that's what makes someone like Xander so interesting, kind of to that point of how many days are left, because he's sitting there with an idol. There's only now three more votes to get him out before fire at four. Presumably he's would be safe at one of them. He could probably try to win one immunity, so there's maybe only one more chance. So like he was almost like so big of I think they probably should have realized he was so big of a target, like, oh, we could put him off to get him off next week. But then it's like, if everyone's thinking that, then he's not enough of a target, so they should have swung back around to make him know he is the guy we have to get out, at the very least flush the idol and get that out, because now he's sitting there, he wins the next immunity challenge, he is staring at the finale like very closely. And I don't know if he has a lot of friends in the jury, but he's got quite the story. We see someone like Xander win these shows a lot, so it's not they might have, like, I know Shan was like theoretically the bigger target, but they really forgot about the bigger target with Xander just sitting there being so big of a target that they forgot he's such a big target.
Yeah, and Shan was the one who was trying to go after him too, so now she's gone. Like, I just wonder, is anyone going to swing back to going after Xander? I mean, the jury knows it. Like, we saw the subtitles where it was like, oh, and Xander saw an idol or something along those lines. So clearly they're thinking about it. We'll see if the players who are actively still in the game will consider it, because maybe they've just moved on. Now it's like, okay, well, now Ricard is a threat because he won individual immunity and he's the one who took out Shan. Oh, Deshaun got credit for the Shan move maybe, so we need to take out Deshaun. Like, you just continue to go down the line and you've forgotten about the guy who, you know, maybe is a big threat as well.
It's possible. I mean, it happens a lot in Survivor though, where you take out a group and there's one little scuttlebutt left over and you're like, let him be, it's fine, we'll take him out anytime. I mean, Erica said this episode, right, she's sitting with Deshaun, they're like, oh, we should flush one of the idols, take out Shan or Xander next, and she goes, I prefer Shan because who is Xander going to have? I mean, looking at this cast, I'll be completely candid. I would not be surprised if Liana and Xander end up working together next episode. I don't know how. I don't know why. But like, this is a cast that is incredibly fluid, especially when they feel spurned by a certain group of people. That I think what Erica is saying as a reason to keep Xander around could be a reason why someone picks him up to get rid of someone like Erica. So I totally agree with what you both of you are saying. In fact, I go so far as to say, let's pencil in Xander for the finale at this point, because I think he's going to slip through. It might be one of these things. The storytelling has been so great this season. And I think Shan continually beating that drum of like, we have to get rid of him and nobody listening to her and then voting her out, I think actually might be an incredibly vital piece of storytelling that is going to pay dividends down the line.
And what's what's so fascinating now with Shang-Gon is either for, what is this, I guess the 9th or 10th season in a row, either a male's going to win or we're going to have an underrepresented, but fleshed out story edited, of a female. Yeah. So like if Erica or Heather, amazingly, or Liana goes on, maybe Liana a little bit more, but for like someone like Erica, if she goes on to win, we're back to that same storyline of, all right, you have a female winner and you didn't really tell her story. So it seems like we're setting up probably for Ricard or Deshaun or maybe a Xander win. And now this is again 10. I think this will be the 10th in a row of a male winner. And it's like, I don't know that there's something wrong with the show, but obviously there's got to be something wrong that a woman seemingly can't win anymore. But I don't know what it is, because it feels like of this season, of all of them, it feels like the most evenly set out between like a man and a woman, just based off the randomness of people going on the hikes to get the idols, the advantages. The challenges aren't really skewered towards male dominating challenges. So I just, it's amazing that it's happening again. I just don't know what they could do about it. It's just kind of just one of those weird coincidences, happenstances. I don't know why it's happening again.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see once the season ends. I've seen a lot of people being like, Erica's gonna win, which to me, okay, sure, but her edit the first ever, now I understand Luvu didn't go to tribal, but even then, everything about her was someone else talking about how she's a big threat. It was never from really from her perspective. She had one confessional, or one or two early on, that was about how Sydney is a big threat and we need to take out Sydney. And then otherwise it was Deshaun talking about her. And then she just got the repeated thing about how I'm a lion in sheep's clothing or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, doesn't make a story. Like, I don't know who you very well. Like, we talk about in relationship to Heather, because she's the one who has like pretty much zero screen time. So it's like, oh yeah, Erica gets so much content. Not really. Liana to me is the only woman who's left in this that I could, to me, make sense from an editing perspective. But honestly, I don't know. Drop the four, keep the one. Who knows what it's going to look like in this day and age of Survivor? So I don't know. I'm waiting to see once the season is over.
Well, to that point, you know, people were still saying up to this week that Shan could still win, despite the fact that she really had a warts and all type of story. Right, where in the beginning she was prevailing, people were loving what she was doing, and then you have all these scenes where she's bossy, she's demanding, you know, she's manipulative, and so you're like, okay, wait, but is she supposed to win? Because very recently, I feel like in Survivor, they tend to, I wouldn't say use the term whitewash, but I think they really tend to sanitize winners at it to try to tell a palatable story, to make it feel like, okay, this person was involved in some stuff going on in this season, even if that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And so even if Shan won, it would be a very different way of telling a winner's story. So yeah, either we are going to get, I guess Deshaun might be the closest we get to someone having that type of edit this season, or we get someone who is very different. Either someone who is a little quieter, as was mentioned, or someone like a Ricard who, yeah, has been coming on a bit strong, but like, has not had the most positive portrayal out there on the season. It was a big episode for him, but, you know, people were not necessarily loving him up to this point. So that makes me excited. This very much feels like a season where a lot is up in the air, not only in terms of votes, but how people are viewing a winner. So, you know, how it shakes out, to go back to your question, Brian, it might honestly come down to, you know, it might come down to just like suppositions about other people. Like, I look at season 39 as an example where that also had a very strong female cast. Mm-hmm. And a guy ends up winning because all the biggest threats at the end were women, right? Like, you're Elaine, you're Janet, you're Lauren were all the biggest threats to win at the end. And they all got taken out because everyone else essentially decided to like team up against them. It's kind of saw a similar thing here in this season with Tiffany, with Evie, with Shan. So, I mean, maybe it's just a matter of the women all see each other as powerful figures and go after each other, while the men tend to lay a bit more under the radar of like, all right, we'll just chill and hang. I'm not entirely sure, but it is some interesting parallels to what might be, as you said, a foregone conclusion for the umpteenth season in a row.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, not to get into like the edgic of it all, there's like the different rules. It's like, oh, well, Deshaun was shown trying to throw a challenge and the editors don't want to show that for a winner. So like he's ruled out, or like little things like that. It's like, well, I don't, you know, who knows if that's true or not. Like Leon has been shown to be, you know, bitter. So that doesn't count. I mean, I know, I think it was Peridium who talked about how it was like, oh, comparing Erica's to Natalie White's edits. We've seen, you know, it's like we've seen examples of that in the past, but also this is Survivor 41. So, you know, I would hope that at someone's winner edit wouldn't be like that.
Yeah, and even we'll Survivor acknowledged that, like in that conversation with Shannon Ricard, they acknowledged Shannon being like, you know, usually a woman loses to a man, and then Ricard was like, well, I think this time around everyone wants to kind of be the opposite, so I think a woman's definitely going to be a man. So they didn't have to show that part of the conversation. They chose to show that part of the conversation. So
but remember back in season 39 when Rob and Sandra are like, she's like, I bet a woman's gonna win this season, and we're like, oh, this is gonna be it.
Yeah.
And it's like, Survivor, stop doing that, please.
We're just Charlie Brown with the football every single time.
Exactly.
That's honestly how it feels. It's like, yes, this season, like, this cast is so strong for the women, like, let's go. Oh man.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Well, let's continue on the Shan boat here, and let's talk about our preseason thoughts about Shan. Obviously, Shan had a lot to discuss preseason. She had a big story as to how she wanted to play. Of course, her career path, incredibly unique, which some people took a lot of umbrage out there in the fan community. Even before we get into what we thought about Shan preseason, Brian, give me your thoughts about who I would probably say is the breakout character of this season.
Yeah, I mean, she was just fantastic. She had fantastic professionals, didn't hold back around camp, which is like, love to see. You don't want to see people, you know, walking on eggshells to be worry about their own game. She was willing to take shots at people when she needed to. She was everything you want a Survivor contestant to be. She knew the game inside and out, wanted to play it. Balls to the wall the second she got out there, but played smartly and played strategically, but also let her emotions kind of get in her way a little bit, which is what you want to see from a television perspective. You don't want to see, you know, just all game bots out there. So she was just fantastic. If there's, you know, a second chance this season, she's going to be number one on the ballot. She's going to get 100% of the vote. She's going to be right there, ready to come back. So if you don't like Shan as a Survivor player, you just don't like Survivor, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how you come out of this not liking Shan and like begging her to come back.
She definitely elicits emotion for sure. The camera just feels drawn to her somehow, you know, like it just so magnetic. I do wish we had seen more about her and Ricard's. We did see a lot of it, but I just feel like there's something more to be explained about her and Ricard's relationship. Because the whole concept of her being the one that could execute the strategy and him being the one that kind of came up with the strategic ideas, I wonder how true that is, because we did hear that alluded to, you know, for all of the decisions that they made, really what was the breakdown? Because I think from the elements we saw, it was super fascinating, especially with the extra vote conundrum in in multiple times that it was discussed of who was going to use it, when they were going to use it, who's holding on to it. That was really just, if there's ever a pair season, I don't know if they ever do that. Like, they could bring those two back. I would love to see them both.
Amazing race season.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know, because there's some possibilities there, right? You could do Shannon Ricard. You could do Shannon Liana. You could do Shannon Deshaun.
Ooh, yeah. A rival season.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I love Shan. I think she oozes charisma. I mean, it really is no wonder why everyone on UWA had a deal with her, basically, and why Liana saw her for 3 seconds and said, like, I'm going to throw my life on the line for you in this game. It's clear she's very good at what she does. But yeah, like, what I loved about it, to Brian's point, is that it was flawed at the same time. Like, I think if I read between the lines on Shan, is that she is able to really connect with someone by being so open to them, which I think comes from her occupation. But the other side of that sword is that by opening yourself up so much, like when you have to do really tough things, it makes you come to pieces. And we saw her do that several times over the course of the season. And that's what I really loved about it, is that she was cutthroat. She was one of the biggest players of the season, but like, it's not like she didn't want to be, but it was very clear she had trouble doing that, which is really human and really relatable and great to see from Survivor. Even 41 seasons later, that you can go in and be like, give me a knife. Hell, give me a butter knife. I'll still cut everyone's throat in there. And then you're like, I made you a bracelet. I don't know if I want to vote you out anymore. I don't know when by the $1 million. It's a transformative game in so many ways. And to see the mafia pastor get to show both sides of that coin, even though she didn't earn any coin at the end of the day, I think was something really cool and refreshing to see from a Survivor player 41 seasons into it.
And she was a good sport about it. Like, she gets blindsided here in just like a brutal way. Basically, the entire tribe like plotted against her here to blindside her. And she took it so in stride. And it's like the Joyce Cassandra. You want someone to be a good breaker-upper. Like, you want someone to take it in stride and not be so angry and, like, you know, toss out all the relationships. She, like, gave people credit. Even, like, you know, as she walked out the door, one last little party shot, like, to put her mark on the game saying that, you know, Ricard has my vote for $1 million. So, like, you just love that. You want to see someone, like, take it personally, but not, like, so personally that it's, like, you know, it brings up hatred and stuff. So, she's just fantastic all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I guess it's all Lianas will throw their life on the line for Shan, because I immediately connected with her. I felt that energy during her preseason interviews. I picked her first in the RHAP draft. And I will say here, for my prediction, she was my winner pick.
Oh,
I like, even my brain was like, Liana, she's too good to be true. She's going to have that downfall. Like, you just know it. And I couldn't do it. I still had to pick her. My heart wants what my heart wants. So I did have her making the finale, winning the entire game. And I said for my prediction that as a pastor, she would form bonds with everyone on the tribe, and she would be able to get people to open up, confess their sins, if you will. I thought I was being clever. I said that she somehow people wouldn't feel hurt by her betrayal and respect her gameplay. I said she would win 2 individual immunities and a new advantage called the boomerang advantage.
Oh, no.
Don't know what that does.
Oh, you didn't even elaborate on what that is.
Nope.
You just created a name.
It'll come back around. You'll get it eventually.
Got it. Yeah, thanks, Mike. And then I said that she would win the final 4 fire-making challenge, make it to the end, and win. Her allies, I put 2, Ricard and Liana, so I'm very happy about that.
Oh, nice!
And then for her enemy, I put the Survivor Devil. Because she's a pastor!
Oh, okay. I love that.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So like, does that mean she get advantage getting or something? But no, it's just that the pure concept of Survivor Sin is enough to send her into a tizzy.
That is correct, yes.
So, I really liked Shan. Her personality jumped out from the beginning. I did have her going pre-jury.
My heart hurts, Mike.
I know. I don't mean to give anyone a coronary out there. My heart hurt enough writing this up. I said that her island wardrobe makes her a favorite of the fans and the buffer snuff segment on the B&B, which I do believe we did talk about. I did notice, actually, when she was having that conversation with Deshaun, she was wearing the Luigi outfit, right, of the green sweater with the overalls. Mm-hmm. I said she does a lot of impressions of her other tribe members and Jeff. I don't think she did any voice. No, that was more JD, right?
It was JD. Yeah, JD. Well,
she, created,
one, yeah.
She created a theme song. That's, you know, that's something. Mm-hmm.
To that point, I did say she uses many sound effects in her confessionals.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I guess that song counts as a sound effect. Finds an idol at UWA, but gets voted out with it in her pocket because she feels safe.
Look at you!
Granted, I thought she'd be wearing a green buff instead of a red one. Let's see. Despite her disappointment at her game, she thanks God in her final words. Somewhere, Julie Chen Moonves stirs from her robotic slumber, somehow satisfied, though she knows not why. I actually wrote that down.
So is that, so you're saying Julie just like shuts down in the off season, like the robot just shut her off and then, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, power her down, throw like a drop cloth off her like she's a parrot. That's how you put her to bed. And then she like rides like some contestant mentioned God. Something happened. I said her closest ally was Sarah and her enemy was JD.
Oh, poor Sarah. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I know. Unfortunately, she might earn the Golden Boy Award. Her or Abraham when all this is done. All right, Brian, ball's in your court here. Two very different predictions in terms of placement, but who do you think was more accurate on how Shan would do?
It's very tough. Like, if you combine your chooses predictions, you got Shan, basically, outside of the pre-merge. Like, if you said, like, post-merge boot, like, you would have gotten her between her allies, the idol, and everything. I mean, oh, it's so tough. I mean, Liana got the allies. Mike got the idol. I wish you didn't say she was the winner. Like, if you said she was, like, out right before final tribal, I would give it to you. But to say winner and then finishing eighth, I feel like I have to go Mike more, because I think that's probably more closer to where she finishes up.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is honestly true, because what she was, what, how many boots, like three boots away from Prima, you know? So it's like, it's close.
Yeah, she is technically the fourth juror, so.
But those are both very good. I mean, there were a lot of, you hit a lot of points on both of them.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah,
exactly. Flip that coin, put it in, I don't know, put it in your shoe. And that's the new, that's the boomerang twist. Here's a coin, put it in your shoe. That's how you use a coin.
What? Because you know, flip it? Does it
you know how the hourglass, they smashed it, and the dice you put in the volcano, right? It's just like not using objects. So instead of flipping a coin, you put it in your shoe.
Yes, obviously. And I think you roll it also, maybe, I don't know.
Boomerang twist could be fun, though. It's like you play an idol, and it immediately comes back to you, right when you're back to camp, something like that. That could be fun. Ooh. Too many twists, like, though.
You play it incorrectly, it comes back. No.
Right.
Yeah, because you wouldn't hit the object.
I think it's more so, and this would be incredibly unfair, but it's like you play, it's almost like an idol nullifier. If you play it correctly, then you get to use it again.
Ah, yay! Oh.
It's like the reverse Uno reverse card.
Yeah.
Swing it back around.
Oh, that's good. Could you imagine, like, Uno, like, they, all right, the fourth person voted out a survivor, you're like, psych, I got my Uno reverse card. I guess it's like an idol that you play after the vote, so never mind.
Yeah, and more as a statue of an Uno reverse card, just, you know, totemized to make it a little more fun.
Obviously.
So did either of you take notice of the title of this fantastic episode of Survivor?
Yes.
I did not.
It is. Liana, what's the title of this episode?
It's like Baby with a Machine Gun or something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I understood Erica's metaphor. I would challenge, and I think Gordon Holmes made this point, that I think anything with a machine gun is dangerous. Not necessarily a baby. But actually, a baby with a machine gun, depending on how old the baby is, might honestly be the best bet of surviving, because a baby doesn't have much trigger finger strength to him.
Yeah, they can't even lift a gun.
I mean, spoiler alert for The Simpsons. Didn't Maggie shoot Mr. Burns? So.
Oh, I suppose so. Yeah, but that was a handgun. The machine gun is significantly heavier.
That's true. That's
Jordan Kalish is going to put that in the next Mafia game if you don't be careful.
Yeah, the baby with the machine gun just randomly kills someone every round.
That's your special role, the baby with the machine gun.
No, I'm not in the Mafia. I'm the baby with the machine gun.
I'm very good. I just have a machine gun and I'm 6 months old, but I'm perfectly good.
Oh, is the twist then, like, you could only talk in baby talk during those rounds?
Yeah, well, what is that? I don't know. You're the one with the baby. Tell us, Goo Goo Gaga boys.
Give me the multitude of reasons as to never go to Mafia Night. One of them might be if one of the roles is you have to talk in baby talk the entire round.
Yeah, the adult baby thing would drive Mike crazy. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into our first game here that deals with episode titles, because I was looking at the title of this one, and there have been several unique episode titles for Survivor, especially as of late when they started doing like quotes from the survivors. But I figured, you know what? We have someone on the B&B here who covers another reality show that has also gone in a very unique direction with its episode titles, right, Brian?
That's
like, I believe the
it.
Challenge one season had like TV show titles, one had movie titles, one had, I'm assuming, spy titles for this season or something.
Something like that. Yeah, I think they do play on like spy movies, I think is how they've done it.
So yeah. Mucus plug,
Lord.
That was from this season. Cause I remember it was Amanda was talking about
there's a lot of weird stuff happening on MTV.
They're like, all right, we have a hard and fast commandment here, but we gotta break fast here to briefly call one of our episodes Mucus Plug. This is an opportunity you don't take up.
Exactly.
Like, this is your Shan moment.
Come join us Wednesdays on MTV.
Top days.
So I figured what I would do is I went through the annals of episode titles for both of these shows, and this is going to be a super simple game.
Oh my God.
We're going to go back and forth. I'm going to give you an episode title. You have to guess whether it's from an episode of Survivor or an episode of The Challenge.
I love 50-50 games. No way to sound stupid.
Put that coin in your shoe.
Yes! I'll roll all that coin to make my decision. Okay, I'm excited.
All right, so yeah, again, and this is taken from all seasons of the show, so I did not put any recency bias here. Mucus Plug did not show up. Do you imagine an episode of Survivor called Mucus Plug?
It's the only one I knew. Would it be a Medevac episode? I don't know.
Oh, God, that'd
be a
spoiler.
Rough way to go.
That'd be a real last 10 minutes of tribal council thing of spoiling what happens in the end.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, poor guy.
All right, well, let's start with Liana here.
Okay.
Survivor or The Challenge?
Okay.
Island King.
Island King?
Island King.
Just Island King?
Island King.
I'm nervous that you're trying to throw me off. It's like, oh, obviously it's got to be Survivor, so it's The Challenge. But what if you're using the logic where I would think that, and so then you would do the opposite? Okay, I'm just going to go with The Challenge.
That is correct.
Okay.
You outsmarted me. You drank the poison that was in front of me instead of the one that was in front of you.
Yeah, don't try to Princess Bride me. I got this. All right.
Was it from the island season?
It was, yeah. People might remember that there was a season called The Island that was very much themed off of... Actually, it was very Survivor 41-esque, right? Where they were like, you get nothing. Mm-hmm. You have to build a shelter. You don't get any food.
That was actually the first season of The Challenge I ever watched.
Was it because of the Survivor comparisons?
Yeah, it's amazing I stuck with the show after watching that season, but yeah.
Yeah. Did you only watch the end?
I didn't.
The eliminations?
No, I should have. It probably would have been a lot better way to enjoy that season.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brian, now your turn. Thy name is Duplicity.
My name is Duplicity. Is there a pun in there? Can I ask for spelling of each of the words? To see if there's anything there? No. My name is Duplicity. Let's see. It has to be Survivor because that is way too fancy of words for The Challenge. So it has to be Survivor.
Ah, you forget. Actually, Nelson said this. No, it's Survivor. It is Survivor.
Thy name. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Anything Survivor, Shakespearean.
The Challenge would spell it T-H-I-G-H, right? Like, oh, my thigh's name is Duplicity. I got it tattooed along my side.
What? Oh, God.
All right. Liana, a million more reasons.
Oh, shoot. I wonder if this is from. Oh my gosh. Okay, because when they up the prize money to $1 million on the challenge, I wonder if this is in relation to that. So I'm going to say The Challenge.
That is correct. Yes, it's from The Challenge.
Okay, is my logic right?
Yeah, it was from, I believe, the first time, the Dirty 30, yeah, the same 30. Where the dirtiest yes. secret of all, that it's actually for $1 million.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Things get a little muddled, especially once the challenge started offering $1 million prizes. Now it's essentially the same show.
Exactly. Same yeah. show.
Exactly the same.
Same cast of people sometimes.
Well, that's true.
All right, Brian.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Could you imagine Nelson on Survivor? Like, or some of these people.
You can only dream. Like, you can only dream, Leon. We can only dream.
What a mess. I would love that.
I imagine Kyle on Survivor. Just like, Jeff, I don't know what's happening.
They would light a fire using his shiny teep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just reflect. That's how they do it. Instead of, you don't need the little looking glass, you just reflect it off.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, Kyle, what would you do with the money? Well, I need more butt implants.
Did he really get butt implants? I know he's done like the hair.
Sure, oh. I wouldn't put anything past that he went over there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if there was like 16% of his body wasn't synthetic. You know, like I think at this point he's becoming that living Ken doll of a man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, Brian, back to you. Everything is personal.
So that screams the challenge, because that's their favorite thing to do is everything is personal. And that's I kind of feel like Camilla might have said that, or I feel like that's a Camilla phrase or a Nani phrase. Someone that doesn't seem more Survivor. I'm going to say the challenge. That the personal part screams challenge.
Well, Survivor screamed the challenge for a hot second because it is Survivor.
What episode? I was going to go challenge too.
Survivor Guatemala.
Huh. Okay.
Oh yeah, is that's probably with like Judd or someone like that.
Yeah, Judd seems like an everything is personal yeah. type of guy.
And Judd would fit on the challenge, so my logic still.
Oh yeah,
that.
Okay. There
Judd
we go.
Is very
yeah,
much.
Exactly.
Imagine him like smashing balls, like, "Come on, man, come and fight me, man." Uh-huh. Why take the damn pizza,
get
man?
Kicked out. Yeah, very fast.
Oh, he would absolutely get like too inebriated and like have TJ come in and like ban him the next day or something.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, Liana, Girls Gone Wilder.
Okay, Survivor.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay.
I thought I'd get you because that, well, obviously MTV has a Girls Gone Wild trope. That is the episode where Jenna and Heidi do strip for chocolate and peanut butter.
Yes, exactly. That's a, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good one, though.
All right, Brian, money or friendship?
Oh.
So I think that's, I feel like that's the finale of when Banana steals the money from Sarah. I'm pretty sure that's the episode. So I think that's the challenge. I think that's even the episode.
Got the show, not the season, but you are technically correct. It's from Fresh Meat.
Oh,
which I believe is what they competed for back in one of these Survivor episodes, right? Fresh Meat. That was that fish.
The piranha. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Money and friendship. There you go.
All right.
Liana,
yes.
The storm before the storm.
The storm before the storm.
Yeah.
So
it's like the calm before the storm, but sub in the drop the calm, keep the storm.
Keep the storm, drop the calm. So this again is one that like immediately my brain goes, oh, it's Survivor. But is this like the first one? But now did you do the backwards reverse Uno cardness of it all? I'm gonna go Survivor.
It was the challenge.
Oh no, shucks. I thought you were trying to get me. Okay. All right, I'm over.
I've got
that.
You wrapped up in my twisted mind games.
That's like free the up there.
The either or option is so much fun because it really does like put you in a confounding tizzy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, quite the tizzy.
All right, Brian. A challenging decision.
Okay, so challenging decision.
Is it too good to be true?
Right.
Or do I perhaps, am I playing 5D chess with you at the moment?
Yeah, what Uno cards in my head right now? Is it the reverse or is it just like, you know, a yellow six or something? Like what's happening?
Yeah.
Challenging decision. I'm going to go Survivor because it's like, I don't think the challenge would be so meta to put the name of their show in an episode title. So I'll go Survivor.
It is the challenge.
Oh my
God. What?
This
what
is one of those like early episodes. So like they hadn't been completely on their pawn game, though I think some people argue they still aren't necessarily there. They're barely landing base hits at this point, but this is a firm strike in the corner of the challenge, of a challenging decision.
Interesting.
All right, Liana, next one's you.
Okay.
Don't yank my chain.
Okay, don't yank my chain.
Don't yank my chain.
Don't yank my chain. So I know that Survivor likes to pull quotes. To me, that sounds like a quote. And I can't think of any movie title that would match Don't Yank. Okay, I'm going to go Survivor.
It is the challenge.
Oh, no! Come on.
So there was a period of time in the challenge where the episode titles were the same name as the challenges, which probably made things easier for your sake, Brian. And I believe there was one season, I think this, The Inferno, apparently is where this came from, where the challenge was called Don't Yank My Chain.
That's assumed to be reference title names on the challenge pack. We're not professional enough to do that, so we don't look at the title.
But it does, it does, you know, it is enough of a phrase where I could understand it being a Survivor title as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounded like a quote. I could hear it in a confessional, which is where my mind went.
All right, Brian, high school friend contest.
High school friend contest. Okay. So that could easily be both. There's a lot of things looking for friends on both of them. Challenge people act like they're in high school a lot. There's a lot of cliques in Survivor, like in high school, so it kind of fits that. No person's jutting out that would say that. Just because the last one was the challenge, I feel like I've guessed the challenge and been wrong a couple times, I'm going to say Survivor.
Hey, you know what? Go with it, because you are correct.
There we go.
Yes,
jutting out indeed.
An episode of Survivor China. No, jutting out was that episode from season 11 where he said everything is personal.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, Liana, coming back to you. Okay. A giant game of bumper cars.
Oh my God. Is this, okay, now I'm trying to think. Was there any challenge that was a giant game of bumper cars? They were in those Zubas or whatever. What are those things called? Zorbs?
Oh, like the glass, the rubber ball things.
Well, that'd be dangerous if they were glass. I'm going to go with Survivor here.
That is correct.
Okay, what episode was that?
It's from Ghost Island. Don't you remember when they were in those Zubas and they were breaking glass all over the place?
Of course, I should remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that episode titled Get in Your Zuba.
Get in Your Zuba.
Classic episode. How could you forget? I think I was who was on the Airbnb, the Survivor B&B for that one. I have to go back.
All right. Brian, yours is the Drama Mafia.
Ooh, speaking of mafia, now.
Oh, yeah. Who's the baby with the machine gun in the Drama Mafia?
The Drama Mafia. Again, that seems like it would be for the challenge. The challenge is much more dramatic than Survivor. The mafia aspect kind of seems more Survivor, though. But the Drama Mafia, I feel like that could have been a nickname for, some of those alliances over there that they try to, like, the pink room or whatever, the lavender ladies, they could have been the Drama Mafia.
Pink room.
They could have been there. I'll go with the challenge for that.
Pink room sounds like something out of 50 Shades of Grey. It is the challenge. That is correct.
Thank goodness.
You got it. Logic works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got pulled for the mucus plug out of the pink room. That poor, poor person.
No.
All right, Liana, let's stay on that wholesome note. Mama said there'd be days like this.
Let's see. So, all right, again, now I'm thinking that's a song lyric. So to me, I'm like, that's the challenge, because I feel like that's something they would do. So I'm going to go with that logic and I'm going to say the challenge.
It is Survivor.
No! What? Oh, no.
He's got us all in a tizzy. He's got us, like, swirling. He can't figure it out.
I know. It's such a tizzy.
I feel like that must have been someone, like, with a big storm, right? That it was, like, a miserable day. Like, they had, like, power.
So this is
like
from
that.
Survivor Token Sheens, where everyone remembers, of course, Jerry, the army vet on Timbira, who I think got evacuated.
Most famous bird from Survivor Token Sheens, of course.
We all remember.
If I recall correctly, I think he ate bad beans and he had some gastrointestinal distress. And he said, well, Mama said there'd be days like this.
There you go.
Oh, yes, of course. I should have known.
Of that inimitable scene. It really is, you know, it really is that you can't handle the truth of Survivor 18. Everyone remembers it like the back of their hand.
Thousand to one shots. Survivor Tokachin's dairy was popping up on this podcast. So congrats to all those who bet it.
He's our benefactor.
If you had that on your bingo card, congratulations.
Yeah, you can cash in for a 10th free froyo here at the B&B.
Oh, no.
All right, Brian, we're coming to you here.
Okay.
The Killing Fields.
Ooh.
The Killing Fields. That seems like it was, using the earlier logic, the name of a challenge on the challenge, the Killing Fields. Mm-hmm. So I think that was my gut. Mama told me to stick to my gut, so I'm going to go with the challenge.
No, it is Survivor.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and who said this? Do you, no, not a quote. No,
oh, I do. Well, this is from Survivor Australia. So considering the person who liked to kill things in that season, I think we can assume who said it.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I also put this in because this also sounds like the name of like an elimination arena.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you get to go to, because I think the Killing Floor was a name of one season on the challenge.
Yes.
So the Killing Fields would not be too far away from it.
Yeah, that seems like a team challenge. They're running in with the glass things that they're colliding with.
Yeah, after you smash the Zubas, there's glass everywhere. And now you have to run across it on the Killing Floor.
Yeah.
The Killing Floor, Killing Field. Yeah.
Killing Field, sorry. The Killing Floor sounds like a bad Edgar Allan Poe ripoff.
No, I just know because that season, Puya would go, and you take the cow to the Killing Floor. And so then we would say that for every single name of like whatever it would change to afterwards.
Wait,
so,
is this a jingle for something?
I don't know. Let me Google it. Let me
this
see.
Is Puya, this is cow. Puya's theme song. This is his jingle.
Oh,
like his
okay.
origin story.
Oh, yes. It's from Parks and Rec. It's a Ron Swanson quote.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that does make a little bit more sense. But then we just continued it for whatever they would call the elimination floor after that.
Should Jeff describe challenge in song?
Ooh.
Should break out his little acoustic guitar.
Yeah, like first you swim with rope attached, then you go under and over again. Like the challenges are getting rote. Describe them with a little ditty. It worked for Shan.
It depends how young they want to go with the child angle of it all, because I feel like it could be appealing to children. Then you have the little bouncy ball over the words at the bottom, so you can sing along at home.
That should be how Tree Mail is read. It's all right? Read in song.
Well, it was written in rhyme,
it
lends itself to. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised nobody has done it yet. Unfortunately, we lost out on Wanda leaving the game so early in so many ways in Survivor Blast.
Think about what we could have had.
All right, Liana, back to you for this last batch. The Young and Untrusted.
Okay, so my first thought is like, is this about the Young Bucks? Like, that's my, because, you know, young, obviously.
Yep.
What was it? The Young and Untrusted. That doesn't sound like a quote. Which I don't know why I'm like stuck on that has to be the concept. I'm going to go with the challenge.
It is Survivor.
Oh, come now. What? Quite the tizzy. Okay, episode. Tell me, explain.
This is from season 3. So this is very much like the mall rats, right?
Yes.
This is when they weren't doing quotes. They were just.
Yes.
It's a it's an odd turn of phrase, though. I agree. You think like the young and the restless, the young and the untrusted doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Right. That's not
a really bad rap name. Common. Yeah. It's a bad rap name.
It's a all bad right. rap name, right?
All right. Brian, Night of Mistakes.
Night of Mistakes. I mean, that's every episode of the challenge. So I think that could just be what the show is called, the Night of Mistakes. So,
every bar scene, the Night of Mistakes.
That's a good bar name. I might steal that, Night of Mistakes.
I can abbreviate to NOM.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it could be if it was one of those Survivor episodes where, you know, like sneak off in the middle of the night to like, you know, claim one of those advantages. But that seems pretty recent. I don't think they would do it like that. So it's got to be the challenge.
That is correct. Not only that, this is actually the name of the most recent episode of the challenge.
No,
I knew that all along. I knew that all along.
Yeah. Wanted to see how closely you were paying attention. Yeah, Night of Mistakes. Yeah, very much should be the subtitle of the challenge. Like, do away with themes, much like Survivor does. Just call the show Night of Mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. Yeah, it is very fitting.
All right, Liana, the good guys should win in the end.
Oh, gosh. All right. I feel like my gut instinct has been leading me wrong because my gut wants me to say Survivor. Can you repeat it?
The good guys should win in the end.
Can we use it in a sentence?
Yeah, can you?
Sure. The title of this episode is The Good Guys Should Win in the End.
All right. You know what? I got to go. I got to follow Kellen. I got to go with my gut. Survivor.
That is correct.
Oh, yes. Okay. One time.
I thought I'd get you with this one because there was a couple seasons, right, where there was the good guys as a team.
Good guys versus bad guys. Yeah.
Yes.
But no, this was from Survivor Season 17. This is like the sugar thing, right? Of, oh, the good guys should win in the end.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now that you mentioned that. Yeah, that's familiar. Yeah.
All right. Next up, Brian. Money changes everything.
Money changes everything. Okay. Well, again, that kind of covers both things. Let's see. My gut was, again, the challenge, but that's, you know, that's just more my world, so that kind of makes sense. I'm going to swing it, but money changes everything. I'm going to go, I don't know who would say or whatever, but I'm going to go Survivor. I can't think of where it would fit, but I'll go with Survivor.
It is the challenge, so it fits nowhere on Survivor.
There you go.
Was it, like, related to one of the betrayal-y...
I think so. I don't know. I think it was just the name of a finale. I don't think it. Oh, okay. I mean, it's a generic enough statement that doesn't have to do with betrayal. It's just more so. Yeah, money changes everything.
Which finale? Which finale was it?
Let me look it up. I forgot to pick that. Money changes everything is. The challenge season 2, episode 1.
Oh, okay. So yeah, no, not what.
Oh, they were playing for like $5,000 back then.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe because they actually offered money for the first time. Like, money
and some Burger King.
Yeah, they were playing for like a Nokia flip phone. What money?
All right, Liana, back to you.
Oh gosh,
bunking with the devil.
Bunking with the devil. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I feel like I've heard this one before. I am going to go with the challenge.
It is Survivor.
No, come now. Oh,
Survivor Cambodia. This is, I believe, the episode when Cass debates working with Spencer or not. Or voting him out.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yes. I was like, I know I've heard this before, but I couldn't get over the bunk beds in the challenge. Mm-hmm. That's where I got
That's why I put it there. You fell for
damn
my
you,
trap.
Mike.
All right. Here's where we are right now. There's one question left. The score is 5-5.
Wow. How many have there been? Like, how bad are we doing? Are we both like
we each got 10, so batting. Man,
so you know what? We're 50-50 on the 50-50 thing. So yeah, I think that,
that's Ryan, right. You could eat this over total the skill. Line. You will win this game if you get this next quote right.
Okay.
Revenge is a dish best not served. Revenge is a dish best not served.
If he gets it wrong, can I steal?
No.
I think you would know the answer.
I know. Damn it. Shut up, Brian.
All right. Revenge is a dish best not served. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a quote by someone. And I don't think anyone on the challenge is smart enough to do like a play on the quote unless they thought that was the quote and they're stupid enough to think that's the quote and they just say it. I think if someone's smart enough to do a twist on the quote, so I'm going to go Survivor.
Good thing I looked up a tiebreaker all of a sudden, because that is the challenge.
Oh my god.
Who said it?
It's from a rival season, so I have no idea who possibly said it.
It's probably Wes, then. It was probably Wes.
Something out of like the Wrath of Khan.
The one or two people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, no. So we have a tie. I prepared a tiebreaker for you. Right. Since we're talking episodes, this is going to be super simple. I want you to each come up with a number, honor system. This past episode of Survivor, the aforementioned baby with a machine gun, what episode number was it in Survivor history? The challenge recently celebrated, of course, their big milestone 500th episode. What number episode in Survivor is baby with a machine gun?
Got it. Counted as a separate episode or is that one?
The reunions, I believe, are counted as an episode.
Okay.
And separate episodes, yes.
Okay, I got my answer.
All right. And we'll do closest, and we'll do non-Price is Right rules. So it doesn't matter if you go over. All right, Liana, let's start with you. What episode number of Survivor did we just watch?
I said 533.
533. Brian?
I said 610.
Brian, remarkably close. 606 is there we go.
Wow.
15 episodes per season sounds about right. And then here we are, episode 10.
Yeah,
wow, that's good.
Quick math ends up working out. So congratulations, Brian Cohen.
Woo.
You end up being the winner here. And actually, I do believe that Bunky with the Devil episode is the one where Woo gets voted out. So you're corrected more.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The boomerang advantage comes back around.
It's a boomerang.
That's what it was. Yeah, there we go. All right, well, Brian, let's see if you can keep your winning streak going, because I have prepared a game. So it is Thanksgiving. It is a time for family. My family is visiting. And I watched this episode with my mom and my stepdad, and I had them just give me their casuals corner comments. So the way this game is going to work, we're going to start with, I'm going to give you a quote and you're going to try to guess who they are talking about.
Ooh.
All right. So that's
a real life Facebook comment section.
Yeah.
This is a real life Facebook. Yes.
Let me ask before we get into this, because you both had moments, right, where you got to watch this episode with people that usually don't. Of course, Brian, you got to watch it with the great Plainview Sue, as often mentioned on your challenge podcast. For both of you, what was that experience like? Because I think there has been some questions as to like what the more casual audience is thinking about this season. Was it like stark difference? You know, were you surprised at things they were loving or things they weren't, Liana?
Yeah, so they don't watch really reality TV.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean they don't like watch TV. So this was a very interesting experience, because, you know, I was explaining what buffs were, right? Like, that's kind of the level that we're at. So in terms of having sort of a higher level interpretation of the episode, I would say that was not the case. It was very entertaining to see what they noticed, what they didn't notice. For example, the game within the game just went right by. They didn't say a single thing about the game within a game, despite the fact there's a big thing on the screen and it's like they were not bothered by that.
Like one of those things where if you're only of a certain age, you like see Narnia, and if you're past a certain age, the game within the game is just invisible to you.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like an age thing. It was fun to see what things they fixated on. So for example, my stepdad was he talked about, this was like a whole saga throughout the whole episode, of Shan's twisted strap on her overalls. So he was like, is her strap twisted? Let me go fix that strap for her. Isn't there a camera crew that can fix that strap for her? She needs to fix her suspender strap. And then later on in the episode, he goes, that's the suspender woman. Now her shirt is on inside out. Like, so to give you a concept, that's kind of like the level that we're dealing with, which is amazingly entertaining and very fun. And it really put a completely different perspective on Survivor for me. Which was very enjoyable.
According to your stepdad, that's why Shan got voted out, is because her
They need to add that to the rules. Give Shan that to David Bloomberg.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. They already have the shirts printed, but maybe
no more
like
twists on this show, and that includes in our clothing.
Exactly. Very anti-twist family.
Feed the survivors and give them irons.
Yeah.
It's the best reward of the season, an ironing board.
Yeah, so I don't want to spoil anything else, given some of the, you know, the comments we'll go through them. But just big picture, that's kind of what we're dealing with here.
So Plainview Sue, she's on the same level of Survivor that she's not like the podcast level, but we've been watching the same amount of time. We both just started. I don't know if she was on the Tribal Council season one level. Maybe she watched full episodes at that point, but we've both been watching from the beginning. So she knows obviously more about the show. If you want to see any of her thoughts, she's a big tweet responder to people. So any thought the Ross tweets, usually Stephen Fishback, she's getting in the mix on responding to the tweets. So if you want to check out Plainview Sue on Twitter, you can see all of her thoughts on Survivor, mainly the Housewives, but you can see on Survivor. So she's really liking the season, I think, too. So she was bummed to see Shan go, but really liking
it. Well, let me ask, because I do believe, I'm just double checking myself, I think Tiffany is from Plainview.
She is.
Did your mom know that?
Yeah, so we didn't know her, but we knew we were rooting for her a lot because she was from Plainview. I don't know. I think she lives in Plainview. I don't think she grew up in Plainview, if I remember from her bio. She just lives there now. But yeah, that was a nice little Plainview connection. I mean, our fearless leader, Rob, lived in Plainview for a little amount of time as well. So there we go.
Do you think that she represent you properly?
I think so. She was like a lot of Jewish moms you would see on Long Island. So she fit that mold very well.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk in a little bit more specifics about some of my family's thoughts. So we couldn't even come up with a consensus name for the game. We have three names: Family Food, like Family Feud, but it's Family Food. Leftover Winners, because we were trying to stick with the.
Hungry.
All in the Family. Those are all our names. So anyway, we're going to play Casuals Corner. All right. So Mike, let's start with you. Okay. So again, the goal right now is to guess who my family was talking about. Okay.
Okay.
So Mike, this quote is for you. Why does she have sand stuck to her face? They're like sugar cookie people.
Sugar cookie people.
Oh, the shade is going to be out with these quotes. This is great.
I am pretty sure I have the exact image in my head. I think they are talking about the fellow Liana in this one.
Yes, that's correct. yes, there were multiple shots of people. I'm actually amazed that
you Mike actually tweeted that during the episode.
Yeah,
that
was really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, hashtag sugar cookie people. You know, that's yeah, what we all like to say. No, I for some reason I have this image in my head. I think it's one of the close-ups of Liana when they were talking about the Black mm-hmm. Alliance, and like I noticed the copious amount of sand on her face, which would probably be like probably one of my biggest annoyances in playing on a beach themed Survivor season would just be the fact that you can never be truly clean of sand, no matter where you go or what you do.
Forever unclean. Yeah.
Forever unclean. All right. Ryan, this one is for you. Who's that one guy that looks like Timothy Chalamet?
So it's got to be Xander, right? Like, I think he sort of looks like that. It's got to be Xander, right?
Yes, that is correct. Why is that your reaction?
I don't think that's that far off of a comparison. I think for a celebrity cameo, kind of fit.
Yeah, I just can't imagine Xander as Willy Wonka.
No.
But they look semi-similar. They're just candy bars saying hi.
He's got the riddles down, so maybe it's okay. All right, Mike, let's go back to you. So this was a little bit of a conversation back and forth. I'll do my best to act it out. Okay. So he's had plastic surgery. How do you know his face? It's just too smiley.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So let's boil this down. Let's do context clues here.
Okay.
So it was a he. So it's got to be one of Ricard, Xander, Danny, or Deshaun. But he's too smiley. Ricard is not necessarily one to smile. I think Xander was too Chalamet broody this episode. You know what? I'm going to say Danny. I think Danny's the recipient of plastic surgery, according to your family.
Okay, so a little bit of a trick question. This is Jeff Probst.
Oh!
Everyone was game here. Yeah, so that was, and then there was a long debate about whether or not it was just lighting and blah, blah. So again, when we're talking about topics of conversation, this was like a big heavy one during Tribal Council.
Yeah, see, Jeff, this is why like you can prattle on during challenges, because like nobody's paying attention. Everyone's just debating about your plastic surgery history.
Oh, yeah. My mom, she was like, can he just stop talking? And I was like, oh, wow. Outside Casuals Corner in real life. This is amazing. I was like, tell me more.
They're in the challenge, but that was like, if I was this, I would just tell Jeff to shut up while I was trying to focus on the thing. I'm like, that's part of it. You gotta zone him out.
Yeah. Why do they keep talking to her? All right. Okay, Brian, this is your next quote. Why is he saying keep digging? They aren't digging.
Okay. Why is he saying keep digging? Who was saying that? I don't think that's Jeff. Jeff would be like, you got to dig deep. So that was what he was saying. I think it was it Danny? I'm going to go with Danny.
It was Jeff Probst.
Oh, yes. Why did he say that?
It was when they were running up it was on the reward challenge when they were attached and they were running up the beach with the, like it's a wide shot when he says it. That was the moment.
Keep digging. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you got to keep going, keep digging, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike, back to you. He's got yoga skills. And then there was a little time window. See? Ninja skills.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Okay, so he has yoga skills and ninja skills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think when either one of those skill sets would be used in this episode. Because the challenge was just standing still. Oh, okay. Well, there was a little bit of negotiating the ball back. I'm going to say that Xander.
Yes.
Okay.
That's amazing. Because
there were a couple times when Xander was like negotiating the ball back onto the pole. And so I can imagine that is somehow both yoga skills and ninja skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Or when I said, oh, you mean Xander? She goes, yes, the Timothy Chalamet guy. Just like him.
She's really making this happen.
Yeah. All right. Brian, this one is for you. Now, this one, this is actually about two people. Ooh, so you can get 2 points here if you get one or
wait,
the
wait
other.
A minute.
You get up to 2 points. So you can get one. If you get one, there's two people. If you get one person, you get 1 point. If you get both people, you get 2 points. Why is this so hard?
I like the scoring system.
Because all of a sudden they're like, all right, but this one, you get 2 points.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Great decision, Liana. I support this fully.
You're welcome. Look, and don't worry, Mike. The boomerang advantage is coming, okay? You'll get yours too. That sounded like a threat. I know. I'm not defending it. Okay, all right. This is, again, a few thoughts. What is she hugging? Is that a pillow? Oh, that's his head.
Okay, so it had to be on the reward. I would hope so.
Okay, I would hope
so. Yeah, I don't know. Deleted scenes from the pink room.
I don't think Heather was hugging anyone. So the girl's got to be Shan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Ricard. I'll say Shan and Ricard.
Okay. So... reflip the coin. No, it was Heather and Xander.
Oh, goodness. The other two people.
The other two people, the other pair. So they were, Heather was holding Xander, but it was because the buff was on top. Like it was, so it was covering his hair.
Because of the way
he likes to wear it up that.
So like
that
the weird little stocking. Yes. Cap.
Makes sense. Shannon, they were having two important conversations. They weren't doing any hugging with pillows.
So just to recap, mm-hmm. Xander is a Timothy Chalamet / pillow person lookalike. Yes.
With ninja skills. With ninja skills.
And yoga skills.
Yoga and ninja skills. Yes. I don't know why. He got a lot of notice. All right.
Yeah,
Mike, this one is for you.
Didn't say anything in this episode. Why did you get so much?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is like least impactful episode.
There was a lot of crying. So a lot of the comments about the, like, there was a lot of raining and crying. And so they had a lot of like raining and crying comments. So the Xander ones were a little bit different. So I tried to vary it. All right, Mike, this one is for you. So this is also boomerang advantage, two people. All right. Okay. It's a little complicated. So let me read you the quote and then I'll try to explain. Okay. Oh, they're just ignoring the other people. That must suck for them. So this is the people who are being ignored. And there were two people that were being ignored.
Okay. They're ignoring the other people. That must suck for them. Oh, this is tough, because I would say if this was last episode, this would have been perfect, right? Because this is when they walked away from Xander and Erica. That happened this episode. They're ignoring the other people. That sucks for them. I'm trying to remember if there's a moment where like somebody got snubbed. I'm going to say, let me go vote wise here. I'm going to say Shan and Liana.
Okay, so I like the logic. No, it was at the reward when Ricard and Shan were just talking and ignoring Xander and Heather.
Oh,
yes.
So you got half credit.
You got Yeah. Yeah. So you get 1 point because you didn't get Shan because it was, but it was just the wrong logic.
In a completely wrong session. I mean, that was a little bit of like a double date, right? Where you sort of have breakout.
No, wait, what am I saying? No, it's Xander and Heather. It's the people being ignored.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. Okay. No, sorry. Kalish Math here. No, sorry. 0 points. Take it back. I take it back. Sorry, Mike, to get your hopes up. And then.
So this is within like what? The same minute that they're saying, oh, is she hugging a pillow? Wait, it's its head.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Ryan, this one is for you. Okay. All right, this is a, there's a blank.
So we went 0 for 4 in the double point question.
Yes, that's you did.
Incredible. Yep, but you gave us twice the opportunity and we lost out both times.
Yeah, should have just flipped a coin. All right, so Brian, this quote is, ah, yes, the famous chess move, the blank blindside. So there's a name of a contestant, the blank blindside. Mm.
Okay. So the name, so I'm trying to figure out the blank blindside, like who it was, like, okay.
Who is it about?
I mean, several people's names were thrown out over the course of this episode.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. The famous chess move, the blank blindside.
Okay. So obviously the easy answer would be Shan, but I feel like it can't be that because this must have been said earlier on in the episode. So it can't be the Shan blindside. Who else? Conceivably was it was like Liana was blindsided, but Erica was potentially going to be blindsided. I'll go with the obvious. I'll say the Shan blindside.
Okay, so this was actually about Nasir.
Oh,
whoa.
Yes. So it's, they're talking about it, I think, at tribal council, like something about the Nasir blindside. Mm. And so then that was the context.
Classic move over Queen's Gambit. It's all the Nasir blindside.
Yes. All right. Okay. So we are going into, I have one more question each. For you, this format is a little bit different. This is the traditional casuals corner style game where I read you four comments, one of which I wrote. The other three are from my family.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
And it's up to you to guess which one was written by me. Okay. All right. So, Mike, we will start with you. A. How many toppings do you think they got to order? 2-topping limit or full deluxe? B.
Full deluxe.
When do we get to see the baby with the machine gun? C. With that night filter, they look creepy, all blue, like blueberry charms. Or what's that cereal? Like turning the milk blue. C. I thought that said Sagittarius. What is Sagittarius Island? Sanctuary.
Oh, the sanctuary. Island. Yeah, I do find it interesting that that's now a thing. Where, like, I remember in the merge, they're like, you're going to the Survivor Sanctuary. We said, what? Where is that? But it has a flag now and everything. Yeah. I guess it is now a thing. It's real estate they've set up. So I can't get over that blueberry charms thing. What is blueberry charms?
I just dictated. All I did, I just listened and typed.
Blueberry charms.
Yes.
I think you had to have written, when do we get to see the baby with the machine gun? I don't think they were paying attention to know when the baby with the machine gun would show up.
The baby with the machine gun was a very big issue for my family.
What?
Yes. It was like, it was because I pulled up the episode on Paramount Plus. So they saw the episode title. So they were like, baby with a machine gun. Is that really the title? How is that the title? When do we get to see the, like, how, like, it was just this very
But this isn't Friends. This isn't like the one with the baby with the machine gun. It's not going to show up.
I don't know. Yeah, so that was real. Of course, the creepy blue milk berry charms was real. And so was Sagittarius Island. It was the pizza one.
Oh.
Although I will say there was one of the comments about pizza was, who delivers pizza out there? Come on.
Come on.
Okay, so Brian, if you get this one right, you will tie it up.
Okay.
Let me give you your four comments. Okay, comment A. Ah, it's raining again. That's because it's sad times. B. Who are those people? We didn't see them the whole episode. They're so clean. That seems unfair. C. What is she carrying? Oh, it's for the fire. I thought she was bringing him a gift. Like, here's an offering of forest scraps.
What?
Or D. Oh my gosh. Run. What the hell is that? That can't be good. Get them out of there.
Oh.
Then there was a reply. It's a water spout. That's called Shakespearean foreshadowing. What?
Wow. Okay. It can't be that. That's way too. If you wrote that on your own, like,
but
all the claps to you.
Did I misremember the disaster movie that happened in the middle of this where you're running from a water spout?
I will tell Brian has the correct logic here. I did not write that one. Okay. So I will get a little bit of spoiler. So there was it's one of those shots where it's like, right, like sometimes they show an animal or something right before they cut to the tribe. So it'll be like, you know, tribe name, whatever day. Mm-hmm. And it was a water spout that was like moving through the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so there was a genuine concern.
Oh, right. Like I saw that. Yeah, like the vortex. Now I
know. Yes. My mom was like, don't worry. It's a water spout. It's called Shakespearean mm-hmm. foreshadowing. Like, all right, well,
you cool. know Shakespeare invented foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Screw that check off. It's Shakespeare's fun.
The one about the jury has to be real, because if I was watching the show for the first time and I saw a group of people walk in super clean and showered, I'd be like, yeah, who the hell are these people? Why do they get to be all clean? So I think that's very logical to say. What was the first quote again?
Yeah, so quote? A was, it's raining again. That's because it's sad times.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I feel like that's the one you wrote.
Okay, so that was real.
Oh
yeah. Again, the rain was like a big fixating point of like that it rains a lot, which is funny because I feel like this is the episode we've never really seen rain yeah. like up until this episode. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was raining a bunch. So no, it was the jury comment.
Yeah.
I don't even think they like noticed the jury was there.
Well, here's the issue. We didn't talk about this last week, but what do you make about the choice to no longer do the, you know, jury getting your first look at the jury mm-hmm. so-and-so mm-hmm. voted at the last tribal council? It seems like the jury is now in their places by the time everyone comes in.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I like to see sometimes the jury react to see who has immunity, to see if they're like rooting for someone. Yeah, it's you know, it's all cut for time, I guess. Gotta make sure you're seeing what's happening with the pillow hugging on the reward challenge, so gotta focus on that.
Yeah, maybe it's just because that the jury has gotten too big that they now can't be mm-hmm. like, and so we're bringing in this person and this person and this person. But yeah, it's been a little weird now for them to already be seated there when everyone else walks in. I guess you could still have that moment of like reacting to seeing that someone has immunity, but it's one of those things, I think, to the point that we made before, if you don't necessarily notice it, or if you mm-hmm. don't, if it wasn't pointed out to mm-hmm. you, you wouldn't necessarily care or notice it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you just mentioning it now, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. They're not doing that. Okay, well, congratulations, Mike. Although it was a close game, a score of 2-1.
Oh, wow.
So great.
We crushed it. We dominated that.
Oh,
man.
You
did great. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it was a lot of fun. It was really fun to watch with people who are just like a completely different universe, to remember mm-hmm. how when you know, myself included, get very worked up about things that happen in Survivor, which I'm mentally preparing for that stupid whatever twist is going to be next week. It's mm-hmm. fine. There are more things that matter, you know, like we could be talking about, wow, the bamboo looks really uncomfortable. That was also mm-hmm. a big, you know, point. So look, there's a lot to take in here.
And I Timothy think Chalamet.
And Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet exactly. with his pillow-like head. Shan with the one strap that never got untwisted and then her shirt was inside out. Just yes. realize that while we get into the nitty gritty when it comes to the Survivor podcasting, there's so much deeper to dig, even though mm-hmm. they literally aren't digging anywhere, as your family pointed out.
Right. They're literally not digging.
Well, to finish things off, as we do every week on the B&B, we turn things over to our guest, an opportunity to highlight a charity or a cause that is close to them to address everything going on outside of this tiny little rain-stricken, pizza-laden paradise that is Survivor 41. So, Brian, we turn to you for this week. Is there a particular charity or cause that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I thought about this. So I think, you know, obviously a lot of people doing shopping this weekend, Black Friday, all the Cyber Monday sale. So I think if you're going out there, you're buying yourself some new toys, new goodies, new clothes, think about what you have that you want to get rid of and maybe donate it. Give it to Goodwill, American Red Cross. A lot of people can use anything from socks, shoes and, you know, sweaters, anything that you're not really going to wear anymore that you're looking to upgrade. Rather than sticking in the back of your closet you're never going to wear again, give it to someone who will appreciate it. So I think try to do a restocking of your closet and see what you can kind of get rid of and donate.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if any show shows, you know, how people can get by with so little, it is indeed Survivor. So mm-hmm. I think it's very apropos. You know, people are begging other people for jackets on the way out. Don't
exactly
be the don't be the Natalie, you know, give your jackets away if you don't need them.
Yes. Find the Angelina that would crave your jacket and give it go. To them.
I love that.
Well, Brian, this was so much fun to have you on to talk for Survivor. I know we talked at probably about the 30 times the length that you would watch an episode of Survivor back right. when you were 10 years old in yep. 2000. So we're happy we got to stick around for the entire podcast.
Yes.
If people want to check out what's going on with the challenge and in its many incarnations, mm-hmm. How can people keep up with you both on the podcast and for the show proper? What's been going on there?
Yeah, so the great Adel Escher and I are talking about the Challenge Season 37 and the Challenge All-Star Season 2, which is on Paramount Plus. Season 37 is getting close to the final, probably about a few more weeks left. All-Stars just started last week, so we're pretty early on there. You can check both those out at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes to subscribe. We do a whole host of games and stuff at the end of the podcast. To make it fun. It's been kind of it's been an up and down challenge season. It's hard to give it my full stamp of to be fully honest, but you know, if you jumped on board, you're still around, stick to the end and we'll see. It should be a good final and a good winner, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I like how when Allie was on, we're like, yeah, this is the right time to jump back in, Mike. Like, they just reshuffled things. We're now to teams. And now it's like, oh, okay.
To be fair, I got understandably chewed out. I did watch catch up and I was like, all right, I'm enjoying this more.
Okay. Okay.
It's gotten,
good.
It's gotten better. You know, it's a little stagnant just due to what happened. You know, as you talked about on the challenge, I think certain non-eliminations made things a little rote. I'm loving All Stars yep. 2, though. All Stars 2 mm-hmm. is very, very fun. It is unfiltered. It's, you know, people coming yep. on being like, I have kids now. My life has changed substantially. I'm not like horny, drunken idiots. So it's a very different tone to the show. And yeah, it's very fun to check out on Paramount Plus. So I also, if you're yep. very much like an old school challenge fan who hasn't watched the show in a while, it's perfect for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, totally exactly.
All right. Well, you know, the Masked Singer took a break, so I don't talk about that. But Puyi and I will be back to cover the Group A and Group B finales, which will be the two following weeks, and then the finale, which is the same night as Survivor. But we will be covering all of that in detail to see who the final winners
it's
are.
The same night? It didn't start. The
it's
same
always
night
airs
Survivor?
The same. Yeah.
Why? Yes. Why are they doing this?
Well, they took a week off they took Thanksgiving week off. They took a week off for baseball. Mm-hmm. And then they took another week off? No, maybe just the two. But yes.
Yeah. This reminds me of when American Idol used to go up against Survivor. I guess mm-hmm. is this like the next iteration, I suppose?
I suppose. You know, a little different. Just a little.
Same network.
But yeah, same concept. A little less, more masks, I guess, here, which, but you know, of course, COVID era makes sense.
Yeah. So you can follow me at @MikeBloomType. Due to the Thanksgiving holiday, I have not yet had the opportunity to talk with Shan, but I will on Monday. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she has a lot to say about both her time on the show and how she has been received. So be sure to check that out at parade.com. As well as checking out all the other stuff I'm doing on Post-Show Recap, especially talking Lost, talking the X-Files. I recently went on Post-Show Recap's theater. I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was a fun experience. And I got to talk about that as well. I might be talking a bit of Community coming up, too. So plenty of stuff to check out there. If you have any games that you want to submit for the B&B to play, feel free to send them in, rhapbnb@gmail.com or #rhapbnb on social media. Who knows? We might get to them on the air even as soon as next week when we are bringing on Washington Post TikTok legend himself, Dave Jorgensen, We had him on during season 40. He was a really fun guest, huge Survivor fan. We're going to be bringing him back to talk about the, I guess it's the anti-penultimate week of Survivor 41. We're getting down to the pointy end of the game in a post-Shan season. I am very intrigued to see where it goes. So looking forward to talking with Dave again next week. Thank you all so much for listening. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, from Will from America for his fantastic theme song. And hey, while you're hanging out with us, checking out Brian's challenge coverage, why don't you stick around for all the other great stuff we have going on reality TV wrap-ups, specifically the Purple Pants podcast, captained by one Bryce Isaiah. This Survivor season, Bryce has recaps with Ghost Island winner Wendell Holland, as well as Jack Atkins from The Circle Season 2, a.k.a. Emily. So if you're not stuffed full of Survivor stuff by the end of this and many other RHAP offerings, got another one for you. We're also talking about other shows, including Insecure. There's some in general stuff going on between The Casualty, segments with Miss Barb and Barb's Message, and of course, the Freak of the Week. So no matter what show may be on, the Purple Pants podcast is bound to be in your ears, delivering quality content. Be sure to subscribe to reality TV wrap-ups for the Purple Pants podcast, the B&B, the Challenge, and so much more. That's going to do it for this week on the B&B. Again, Leon and I will be back next week with Dave Jorgensen talking about episode 11 of Survivor 41. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P B&B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-